Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better. I ruined the intro. That is better than playing second fiddle to your partner's furry friend. I am your host, Davin Rosewood. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello, Joe and Pip.
Hello.
Hi.
We also have Mike Keegan, a comedian in studio. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome for being here. So we got a fun show planned for you tonight, or today, whenever you're listening. Is it okay to love your pet more than your human companion? Comics in the news and the new trend of stand-up comedy performing in either lingerie or naked. We had to put some towels down for Mike. And we'll answer one of your cybersecurity questions about eBay. But before we get into all of that, you guys big fans of nursery rhymes, like the fairy tales?
I liked
the
them.
The classic
yeah.
ones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were evil.
They were. Did you hear them as a kid?
They were the creepy ones. The Grimm's fairy tales were very creepy.
I don't remember hearing them as a kid. I got the Disney version.
Oh no, I got the my mom bought me the Mother Goose book with all those rhymes.
Well, Mother Goose is different.
Mother Goose was much nicer than
Grimm. Mother Goose was nicer. Like Hansel and Gretel, it turned out what? They sent the kids out into the woods.
Yeah.
To starve. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was much more gruesome than what I grew up with.
Oh yeah.
They usually have a much darker undertone to them than you would think.
Yeah. Don't be racist. We don't do that here.
But oh, no, I didn't
since
know.
When?
No. No, you're absolutely right, though. They were a lot darker than how we think of them.
Right.
And we really wouldn't... I can't imagine exposing my child to those horrible things now.
No, it's really quite bizarre.
It is. Well, fortunately, the NRA is very sensitive to what children should be listening. So they decided to rework some of these fairy tales. This is true. I'm not making this up. So they armed some of the main characters. And so... And like Hansel and Gretel, and their argument was that these are actually less violent. This is their argument, and it's a good way to introduce children to weapons, I guess.
Instead of Hansel and Gretel, they're Smith and Wesson now. Great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little, for me, it's a little too soon.
Yeah.
I don't think when we're tucking little Pamela in, at, when we're tucking little Pamela in, I don't think she really needs to hear about a sawed-off shotgun. But that's me. But this is some of the stuff.
Daddy, tell me the story about the Glock again.
That's pretty much what it is.
I know.
So I'm going to read a little bit of, these are the actual reworkings that they did. I'm not making this up. And then because we like to be equal opportunity, we took some classic fairy tales and we made them more liberal sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more touchy-feely, if you
Let's
will.
Let's not go that way.
Well. All right, so this is from Hansel and Gretel. Hansel heard it first and stopped his sister, and they both heard it again. Help us, the whisper said, as Hansel and Gretel looked to see who it was. We're in the gingerbread cottage, the whisper continued. The witch has us. The mother-in-law? No, the witch. They went to the window where they saw two young boys, clearly brothers, locked in a cage before a simmering pot. That's kind of what you remember, because the witch was going to eat them.
Oh, yeah.
We thought nobody would ever come. Personal problem. The boy whispered excitedly, seeing Hansel and Gretel. We've been here a week. The witch is fattening us up to make us into a stew.
Great.
Again, not heart sensitive.
I love story time. That's nice. We're all in a circle here too. You know.
Yes, let's hold
usually
hands.
When we circle up, this isn't the activity. But I digress. I don't know how much time we have left. Hansel and Gretel exchanged horrified glances, not glasses.
Look at this. There's no lens and there's a Band-Aid on it. These glasses are horrible.
You get
really
them
dirty
for $3.99. Where is the witch now? Gretel asked. Asleep, the boy replied, looking over his shoulder towards the bedroom from which they could hear the soft sounds of snoring. We're going to get you out of here, Hansel told the boys, hoisting himself up and climbing into the window, helping Gretel in after him, for he was stronger than his sister. The boys directed Hansel to the key that would unlock their cage, while Gretel stood up at the ready, with her firearm, just in case.
Good girl, Gretel. Good girl.
For she was a better shot than her brother.
So funny.
Hansel unlocked the cage and opened the door. The hinges gave a groan, and the sound of the witch's snoring stopped the silence filling the room as they looked at each other in panic. Gretel got her rifle ready, but lowered it again when the snoring resumed. That's just gun safety.
It is.
How old are Hansel and Gretel? Like 9?
Not even.
Yeah, that's great. So you got them running around in the woods with their guns. How about you call some adults, stupid? yeah, what is it when it shoots and it kicks back with a kickback?
You know, but the nice thing is they're showing that a girl can shoot better than a boy.
Sure. Needless to say, the children made it home. After reuniting the boys with their parents, it was time to take on the witch and get some hunting done in the meantime. Villagers prepared with rifles and pistols, headed into the forest. Hansel and Gretel leading the way. Sure, put the kids out in front.
Wait a second. Get some hunting done while are they going to stew the witch?
Well, their people are starving, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so they're going to kill two birds with one stone, I see.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
When they came upon the witch's cottage, the sheriff locked her into the cage, in which the boys had been locked just the night before. I like this. Law enforcement, I like that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
To be taken away so she would never harm another child. The sheriff stood guard as the villagers hunted, coming back with more game than they had been able to find in months. Ted Nugent was pleased.
He would be, yeah, Uncle Teddy, yeah.
And this is what they did for a Little Red Riding Hood. So that's actually not bad. It's not bad.
It isn't horrible.
I don't like the fact that little children are running around in the woods with guns.
No, it terrifies me of going into the woods.
Yes,
but...
exactly. So the wolf leaned in, the jaws... This is Little Red Riding Hood. The wolf leaned in, jaws open wide, then stopped suddenly. Those big ears heard the unmistakable sound of a shotgun safety being clicked off.
Right on! Right on!
It paints such a...
Right on! How cool is that? click, click.
I guess Grandma doesn't have Parkinson's? I don't know.
Grandma's locked and loaded, stupid wolf. You have a noggin blown off.
Stupid foreign wolf coming here without your papers. Trying to get a free meal. How dare you?
Start laying those bricks.
Those big eyes looked down and saw that Grandma had a scattergun aimed right at him. He realized that Grandmother had him in backing away from him. She had been moving towards her shotgun to protect herself and her home. I don't think I'll be eating today, said Grandma, and you won't be eating anyone again. A little much. A little much. You could scare the wolf. No reason to threaten. Grandma kept her gun trained on the wolf, who was too scared to move.
Well, the wolf isn't there to say hello. He's up to no good.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah. He's not going to stop and go, you know what? You're right, lady. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then the next line is, a huntsman removed the wolf from the cabin. They don't give us the gory details.
Wow. No.
Kablamo, and wolf guts were all over the place. Good night, children.
Yeah. Apparently he was not that scared to move.
And the huntsman had new wolf moccasins.
Hamilton said, Cam and Company, that there's now a Lee Little Pig story in the works.
All right. I think these are less violent, but I don't want guns for little kids.
No.
But Pip, you liberalized one. Give us a taste.
I did. This is now known as Dreadlocks and the Three Ursine Americans.
Okay.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a family of Ursine Americans who lived in a cave in the woods. There was a mated pair of Hetero Bears, Bernie and Hillary, and their offspring, Woke Bay. They had just made some dinner, but it was too hot to eat, so they went for a walk while everything cooled down. On the same day, Little Dreadlocks was exploring in the woods. Both of her mommies have decided on a free-range parenting approach, so Little Dreadlocks was allowed to explore her surroundings at will. They had read studies that suggested that children of color who were subjected to helicopter parenting were less likely to succeed academically, and they wanted Little Dread to be a successful lactation counselor one day. So they strove in every way to provide her with the educational opportunities to make that goal a reality. Anyway, during her walk, she came across a cave with a cute little door and decided to go in. Dread's moms lived in a community where the neighbors didn't put any restrictions on their children, like not entering other people's homes without an invitation, because that might stifle their natural curiosity, so she walked in without knocking. She was surprised and happy to see food on the table, because she had gotten hungry on her walk, so she sat down in the big chair, in front of which was placed a large plate of pasta. She took one mouthful of pasta, and then she realized how uncomfortable her big wooden chair was, and she jumped back in horror, realizing that the pasta may not be gluten-free, and may even contain some GMO ingredients!
No!
I know!
This is scary.
She moved over.
Scarier than the guns.
It is.
She moved over to the comfy-looking chair and sat down, promptly being sucked deep into the goose soft down cushion like a duty into an airplane toilet. After she pulled herself back up out of the downy hell, she sat on the edge and tasted what was on the dinner plate. To her horror, she realized that there was factory farm chicken on the plate. She hurried over to the third chair, which was comfortable and tiny, and on that plate in front of her was quinoa, a green field salad, and sustainably pole-caught salmon. She ate everything on the plate and finished her last bit just as the tiny chair, unfortunately poorly made in a sweatshop, collapsed beneath her into bits. With her full stomach, she went and looked for some where to lie down. In the bedroom, there were three beds, which she found to be unusual, sleeping arrangements for a couple and a child, but she was sleepy and tried out the big bed first. The big bed's mattress was too firm and had a tag on it that said it was from a country well known for the exploitation of its workers. So Dredd moved on to the next bed. The middle bed was far too soft, and the comforter was clearly washed in detergent that was harmful to the environment. Finally, little Dreadlocks lay down in the smallest bed, which was so comfy she drifted off to sleep and dreamed of equality for all races, ethnicities, genders, or sexual orientations. When the bears got back from their walk, they were startled to see that someone had clearly been at the dinner table eating their food. Do we want to follow this up, go back, follow up after the break?
Yeah, if it's got a payoff, sure.
Yes.
Here, listen to Davins then. Don't go anywhere. We're back. Davin's then filling in the void. When we last left off, Pip was giving us a liberal version of the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I think that's what it was.
Dreadlight, Locks, and the Three Ursine Americans. Yes.
I don't even know what Ursine is.
Bear.
Go on.
Okay. When the bears got back from their walk, they were startled to see that someone had clearly been at the dinner table eating their food. They looked around for the culprit and woke Little Dredd, asking for an explanation of why she was in their home, eating their food, and sleeping in their beds. She was so startled to see that the Ursine American family was the ones eating all that environmentally unfriendly food and used products that were against her beliefs that she stood up on the bed and lectured them for a solid hour about the error of their ways and the many, many ways that they could have been making better use of their resources to help out their fellow bears. The bears hung their heads low, realizing that she was completely right and that they would have to mend their ways. Dredd pulled some helpful pamphlets out of her pocket, printed on recycled rice paper with biodegradable vegetable inks, and gave them to some web links to look at to further their enlightenment. The new friends all hugged and said goodbye, as it was time for Dreadlocks to get back home to her two moms, because it was their night to host the Occupy Bear Dens meeting, and she could not wait to report on her progress.
Very
the
good.
End.
Very good. I feel better already
yes,
and safer.
Don't you feel safer and
I
better?
Do.
I knew it.
Joe, make me feel safe again.
Okay, mine's quick and to the point. It's Little Bo Peep. Little Bo Peep has lost her guns and can't tell where to find them. They've all been turned in to keep you from sin and to keep everyone safe around you. Little Bo Peep fell fast asleep when in came an intruder, but when he was found, he was all tied and bound, and never was a gun used either. It happened one day as Bo Peep did stray, but no foul play found her. She went out unarmed, but received no harm, because guns are never needed.
Okay, very nice.
Okay, that's a liberal spin.
Yeah.
Yes. We're all not attractive in a traditional way, duckling.
That's perfect.
Awesome.
Oh, let's see. It was summertime, and it was hotter than it had been during any summer on record in the country. The sunshine fell hotly on an old house with solar panels on the roof, surrounded by deep canals that were now almost completely dry, undoubtedly due to the drought, and from the walls down to the little bit of remaining water's edge, there grew large burdock leaves. This place was as wild and lonely as the thickest part of the woods. It was here that an organic duck had chosen to make her or his nest, as this story does not have to be gender-specific. He, she, was sitting on his or her eggs, which for equality's sake were both white and brown. At last the eggs began to crack, and one little head after another appeared. Quack, quack, el quacko, la quacka, said the mother or father duck, making sure they understood no matter what language they spoke, and all the little ones got up as well as they could and peeped about from under the green leaves. How large the world is, said one of the ducklings. Do you think this is the whole of the world? Asked the mother or father. It stretches far away beyond the other side of the garden, down to the non-denominational pastor's field. Are you all here? And then he/she got up. No, I have not got you all. The largest egg is still here. How long, I wonder, will this last? I am so weary of it. And he/she sat down again. At last the great egg burst. Peep, peep, said the little one, and out it tumbled. But oh, how large and gray. And it was not attractive in the traditional way, but let's not judge. The mother or father duck looked at it. None of the others is at all like it. The next day, the weather was delightful, and the sun was shining hotly, thanks to all the carbon emissions, when the single mother or father duck, with his or her family, went down to the canal. Splash! He/she went into the remaining polluted water. Quack! Quacko! He/she cried, and one duckling after another jumped in. The water closed over their heads, but all came up again and swam quite easily. All were there. Even the non-traditionally attractive gray one was swimming about with the rest. Quack, quacka, said the single mother or father duck. Now come with me. I will take you into the world properly, which is safe and an understanding place.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the cat. I'm sure he was properly vetted. When they came into the duck yard, two families were quarreling about a tofu burger. The mother or father duck said, keep together and bow to the senior citizen duck you see yonder. She has a rainbow rag on her leg. That is considered a special mark of tolerance and is the greatest quality a duck can have. The right-wing ducks who were in the yard looked at the little family, and one of them said aloud, only see, now we have another brood, as if there were not enough of us already. They are takers! How ugly that one is! We will not endure it. And immediately one of the drakes flew at the poor gray youngster and bit him on the neck. Leave him alone, said the mother or father. He is doing no one any harm. Peace and love, man.
Oh, boy.
Those are fine children that our good mother or father has, said the senior citizen duck with the rainbow rag on her leg. All are pretty except that one, who certainly is not attractive in a traditional way. I wish the government could improve him a little. Maybe some plastic surgery, compliments of the Affordable Care Act. The other ducks are very pretty, said the senior citizen duck. Make yourselves at home. But the poor duckling who had come last out of his eggshell and who was not attractive in a traditional way was bitten, pecked, and teased by both ducks and hens. And then the Trump turkey cock, who had come into the world with spurs on and therefore fancied he was an emperor, puffed himself up like a ship full in full sail and quite red with passion marched up to the duckling. The poor thing scarcely knew what to do. He was quite distressed because he was not attractive in a traditional way. So passed the first day, and afterward matters grew worse and worse. Even his brothers and sisters behaved unkindly, saying, may the cat take you. You're not attractive in a traditional way thing. The ducks bit him, and the hens pecked him, and the girl who fed the poultry kicked him. He ran through the hedge, and the little birds in the bushes were frightened and flew away. That is because I am not attractive in a traditional way, thought the duckling, and ran on.
Wow.
At last he came to a wide moor where some free-range ducks lived. There he lay the whole night, feeling very tired and sad. In the morning, the free-range ducks flew up and then saw their new companion. Who are you? They asked. The duckling greeted them as politely as possible. You are really not attractive in a traditional way, said one of the free-range ducks. But that does not matter to us if you do not wish to marry into our family. I mean, we are liberal and all, but let's not get crazy.
Oh, my God.
He had never thought of marrying. There he stayed for two whole days. On the third day, along came two wild geese, or rather refugees, for they had not been long in the country, which accounts for their lack of adaptation to our culture. Harky, they said, you are so ugly that we look like you very well. Will you go with us and become a bird of sponsorship? On another moor, not far from there, are some dear, sweet, undocumented geese, as lovely creatures as have ever been. It is a chance for you to get a wife. You may be lucky, ugly as you can, but at least you are a legal citizen. Just then a gun went off, and both goslings lay dead among the reeds. Bang! Another gun went off, and the whole flock of undocumented geese flew away from the rushes. Again and again, the same alarming noise was heard. This was a shooting party. The Border Patrol militia lay in ambush all around. The dog splashed about in the mud, bending the reeds and rushes in all directions. How frightened the poor little duck was. He was confused, as this was a gun-free zone. He turned away his head, thinking to hide it under his wing, and at the same moment a fierce-looking dog passed close to him, his tongue hanging out of his mouth, his eyes sparkling fearfully. His jaws were wide open. He thrust his nose close to the duckling, showing his sharp white teeth, and then he was gone without hurting him. Well, let me be thankful, sighed the duckling. I'm not attractive in a traditional way, and even the dog will not bite me.
Wow!
And he lay still through the shooting continued among the reeds. He thought to himself, we really need stricter gun regulations. Toward the evening, he reached a little hut, so wretched that he knew not on which side to fall, and therefore remained standing. He crept into the room and hid in the corner. In this room lived a senior citizen woman with her tomcat and her hen. The next morning, the cat began to mew and the hen to cackle when they saw the new guest. What is the matter? Asked the senior citizen woman, looking around. Her eyes were not good, so she took the duckling to be an excessively weight-challenged duck who had lost her way. This is a wonderful cat, she said. I shall now have duck's eggs, if it not be a drake. We must wait and see. So the duckling was kept for 3 weeks, but no eggs made their appearance. Day after day, the duckling sat in the corner, feeling very sad. What ails you, said the hen. It is so delicious to swim, said the duckling. So delicious when the waters close over your head and you plunge to the bottom. Well, that is queer, but not in a gay way. Not that there's anything wrong with that sort of pleasure, said the head. I think you must be judgmentally impaired. You do not understand me, said the duckling. What, I do not understand you? Are you not lodged in a warm room? Have you not the advantage of society from which you can learn something? Come for once. Take the trouble either to learn to pour or to lay eggs. There are no participation trophies here. I think I will take my chance and go out into the wide world again, said the duckling. Duck lives matter. Well, go then, said the hen. So the duckling went. He soon found water and swam on the surface and plunged beneath it. The autumn came. It was 95 degrees due to climate change. The clouds were heavy with acid rain. The poor duckling was certainly not very comfortable. One evening, just as the sun was setting, a flock of large birds rose from the brushwood. The duckling had never seen anything so beautiful before. Their plumage was of dazzling white, and they had long, slender necks. They were swans. They flew so high, so very high. Though not attractive in a traditional way, duckling's feelings were very strange. He turned around and around in the water like a wheel and strained his neck and sent forth such a loud, strange cry that he almost frightened himself. We're going to have to take a break in a second, then I'll finish this up. He could not forget them.
It's a mini-series.
It is.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, I know.
He could not forget them, those noble birds, those happy birds. He loved them as he had never been loved anything. He did not envy them. It would have never occurred to him to wish so much for himself. All right, so we will finish this when we come back. You are listening to Davin's Den, Fill in the Void. Don't go anywhere. We are back. Davin's Den in. We're going to finish up my little story and then move on to something else. So winter came, and it was so cold for about a week. The duckling had to swim round and round in the water to keep it from freezing. But every night that week, the opening in which he swam became smaller, and the duckling had to make good use of his legs to prevent the water from freezing entirely. At last, exhausted, he lay stiff and cold on the ice. Early in the morning, a pot farmer passed by and saw him. He broke the
pot farmer.
A pot farmer. He broke the ice in pieces with his shoes made from hemp and carried the duckling home to his wife. The duckling soon revived. The children would have played with him, but thought they wished to tease him, and in terror jumped into the soy milk pail so that the milk was splashed about the room. The woman screamed and clapped her hands. He flew next into the tub where the vegan butter substitute was kept, and then into the meal barrel and out again. The woman screamed. The children tried to catch him and laughed and screamed, too. It was well for him that the door was open. He jumped out to the bushes and to the new fallen snow and lay and dreamed. Okay. So he's laying on a moor among the reeds when the sun began to shine warmly. The larks were singing, yada, yada. Once more, he shook his wings. They were stronger and carried him forward quickly. And before he was well aware of it, he was in a large garden with apple trees not grown with seeds from Monsanto, stood in full bloom with the syringas set forth from fragrance. Oh, everything was so lovely, so full of freshness and spring. Out of the thicket came three beautiful Caucasian swans. They displayed their feathers so proudly and swam so lightly. The duckling knew the glorious creatures and was seized with a strange sadness. I will fly to them, those kingly birds, he said. They will offer me an assisted suicide because I, not as attractive in a traditional way as I am, have presumed to approach them. But it does not matter. Better to be killed by them, to be bitten by the ducks, pecked by the hens, kicked by the girl who feeds the poultry and have so much more suffering during the winter. He flew into the water and swam toward the beautiful creatures. They saw him and shot forward to him. Only kill me, said the poor duckling, and he bowed his head low, expecting death. But what did he see in the water? He saw beneath him his own form, no longer that of a plump, ugly gray bird. He was a reflection of a swan. It does not matter who have been born in the duckyard, if one is hatched from a swan's egg. So everybody's happy. Some little children were playing.
No, I laugh. So everybody's happy.
Some little children were playing on smartphones in the garden. They put them down and threw grain and bread into the water. And the youngest exclaimed, "It was okay because none of them were allergic to gluten." There was a new one. The others all cried out, "Yes, a new swan has come!" And they clapped their hands and ran and told their father and mother, "The new one is the best, so beautiful. All the swans, but yeah, they're all thrilled." So the old Dougling's reflecting back, and he's like, you know, it's good. How little did I dream of so much happiness when I was not traditionally attracted to despised duckling? I am so happy to be part of all this hope and change.
That was so liberal.
We'll be back with Mike Keegan and lingerie. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den, Fill in the Void. We're going to do some comics in the news. I'm glad we have Mike in for this. I just got to find the music for it, as always. So this will be edited out, so Joe will make it run a little longer.
That's our wait music. Da-da-da.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
So there's a new trend in comedy, I've noticed. There are two types. There's the lingerie comedy show, which our guest Mike will be hosting. These shows have attractive young women, and Mike.
Naturally, though. Mike Keegan. There you go.
They have attractive young women performing in lingerie, and Mike is the male host of one of these shows. Unless there's a surgery.
Or a.k.a. Lucky Devil.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's a tough gig.
And I don't identify as a male.
Nobody else identifies you that way either. We like Mike. He's asexual. He should host. Turn him over. Find out what he is. Anyway. All
right. Oh, my.
And then there's the, if you push his belly, it pops out. It's nice. It's good. And then there's these naked comedy shows. And this is men and women of all ages and sizes performing stand-up comedy while being naked. I don't think these are always open to the public. I think a lot of them are invite only. But the show Mike is doing is open to the public. Mike, are you surprised that you were approached to host something like this?
I'm extremely surprised. I think it's kind of a good counterbalance. It's just like, we're going to have really hot naked girls.
No, lingerie.
Really hot lingerie girls. Let's get the complete opposite of that. Let's get Mike Keegan.
Well, don't sell yourself short, Mike. I mean, you have lovely breasts.
Well, you're there to cleanse the palate.
Oh, boy. I've been staring at your rack the whole time you've been here.
Exactly.
I mean, did they ask you to dress scantily? Like, are you performing in a bathing suit? Or?
Well, the girls are going to be fully clothed. I'm going to be in the lingerie.
Now there's the twist.
Yeah, it's a twist, this one. No, I'm just wearing a regular button-down and slacks.
Do you think that's a little sexist that, I mean, you're being part of this and shouldn't you be wearing a little less like the ladies?
You know what? Maybe you got a point there. Maybe I will have to wear something.
Boxer shorts with hearts
exactly.
on it.
Coming out in
boxer. Would work.
Yeah, we didn't mention that, but maybe you're right. I mean, that is a little sexist.
Come on, cover up.
I should be wearing things that I wear to bed as well.
You should. He's not wearing anything. No, the tidy whities are just riding high. You can't see him. He's very funny. Don't worry. He's walking a little weird, though. So you're going to be fully clothed. Pip, what do you think of them choosing a male comedian to host an all-female performer lingerie comedy show? Does that irk you?
Sexist.
No. When you look at Mike, the word is sexy.
Yeah, well, I was trying to control myself. I am a married woman.
Okay.
But the thing is that, you know what? It is really odd to have the women there, like, practically naked doing comedy and then the guy gets to wear clothes, so
it strikes you a little weird.
I didn't even think of it like that yet, now until you mentioned
now
it,
you're self-conscious
now. I'm gonna be like, oh yeah,
you know what you have to wear, right? The breakaway pants and shirt where you're like well, you come exactly. out, wow, he's wearing a tux, and then it's just you.
Oh, and here's the twist, he's Magic Mike.
Exactly.
Yes. Magic Mike Keegan.
That's right.
Yes. By the way, every show you perform on now, you're now known as
Magic Mike Keegan. Right.
A lot
of
rule breakers out here.
And the pants go.
To me, the lingerie comedy show seems more sexual than the naked comedy show. Because the naked comedy show has men and women of all different sizes.
Yes.
And they are clear. Like, I've seen the posters. They're clearly marketing, you know, attractive young women. Not Mike. Mike's not on the poster. But
no, they clearly are marketing the attractive young women. And it's sort of like, you know, like, let's have a Playboy evening. But they do comedy, too. Nobody's listening to them.
Have you hosted these before?
I have never hosted one of these. I've seen them. The two people that created the lingerie show, though, they're actually two females that are on the show.
And I bet they're not ugly.
They're not. No,
no, they're not.
900-pound female comedians are not creating this. You gotta be attractive. You know? Guy would create this or hot chicks. There's no way a fatty's going, you know what would be great? Women that look better than me.
Yes, it's not some creepy old comedy club booker with a cigar, like, hey, let me get four hot girls in lingerie.
All right, so I'm a little late to the party.
Two of the girls started it. Amory Castillo and Madison Malloy started it, and it's they there's I think five or six of them that go on the tour on the circuit. I've never hosted them, but I watch them. But the thing is, like, if you say like nobody's listening, they are. They do hundreds of shows a year with their clothes fully on, and they're very accomplished comedians. They're very respected. They're hilarious. They
so
really
why then why do this? I mean, if they're successful, I don't know these girls. Yeah. They could be great, but I mean, if you're successful and you're doing well, why do this?
I think it's really just to have a brand and just something a little bit different. You know, because they do tons of regular shows every year. This might be a little bit of a fun thing, and it does get people in the seats. I mean, yeah. As soon as I started mentioning it, some of my friends, coworkers, they're like, oh, I'd love to go there. It does get people in the seats.
Are there more men than women at these shows?
I'll tell you, I work with two women, and they were like, I got to ask my boyfriend. I think we should go to this. And I noticed that a lot of women are still into it also. But it gets a lot of backlash from female comedians as well.
I have noticed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a female comedian that has done these shows in the past.
Right.
And she's really worried about being judged.
Yeah.
Like by her peers. And I said, listen, I understand. I'm not judging you. But but I've seen the backlash from mostly female comics.
There are comedians, yeah. The female comedians that judge, and they go on Facebook and they have these rants about how it compromises the integrity of your comedy. And to them, I just say, hey, ugly girl, shut up. No, I'm just.
Hey, you with the beard, shave and come back and talk to me.
You mean the not conventionally pretty duckling?
Not conventionally attractive.
Not attractive in a traditional way.
Way, duckling.
But yeah. No, I totally understand how other female comedians, because it's a hard job. You spend a lot of time writing and trying to get your name out there. And then this show sells out way quicker than any other regular show, you know, and I can understand that. But they are accomplished comics that do a lot of other shows. And
do you think this undermines females?
You know, I think it has the potential to do so only because, you know, female comedians do have a hard time, you know, getting into shows and having
yes.
people, you know, they always have the scourges, you know, women aren't funny. And it's like, oh, great, but their boobies are.
Well, depends on who your surgeon is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, if you're getting, you know, you try to get people to shows any way you can.
Yeah,
and if you
seats.
Feel that this is a good marketing way to get it in,
yeah.
that's fine.
Would you perform in your underwear?
No, and I was asked to do the naked show. Because Caitlin Bailey, that does the naked show, I work with her one week, and she goes, would you like to do it? I'm like, no.
But at least with the naked show, they go, well, we're exposing ourselves.
Yeah, it's art, and it's men and women. And also, at the naked shows, they let the audience have an option if they want to be naked as well.
I think that's probably frowned upon at the lingerie show. Put that away. What?
Bouncer.
Do you have a mic? Oh, that's not a mic.
All the women are standing towards the back of the stage. They don't want to stay close to the audience.
Exactly.
Yeah, drop claws. Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, when is the next one? When's the one that you're part of?
Let me get my pen.
Friday, April 22nd at 10:30 p.m. You can get tickets at www.govs.com, G-O-V-S, because it's a Governor's Comedy Club in Levittown, New York. And or you can call them 516-731-3358 to get tickets.
All right. Don't go anywhere. One more segment to go. Davin's Den. We are back. Last segment, Davin's Den. Fill in the void. We are going to answer a question we got from a fan about some eBay scammer activity. Oh, I got to find Well, Pip, why don't you introduce it while I find what I'm looking for?
Okay. This week, a friend of the show, Lady Spitfire, sent us an audio request to help on the show regarding her recent experiences as a seller on eBay. And she sent Davin some copies of the correspondence that goes along with the scams she was almost taken in by. Luckily, she was smart enough to realize that something was amiss and she didn't get taken in by them or lose her material. But we'll hear more when we listen to this clip.
Dear Davin's Den, my name is Lady Spitfire of the New Authority, and I have a scam problem that I need your help with. Scam artist number one tried to scam me out of $327.50. Second scam artist tried to scam me out of money also. Both users were reported to eBay. eBay removed the listings, allowed me to relist the listings for free. Both of these scam artists have texted me. I also was tried to be scammed by three other scam artists, which I've emailed you on from messages that they've sent me. Some of these users have ratings, some of them don't. I find it very hard to believe that eBay is full of so many scammers. There are also some emails from PayPal involved, where some of these people have crafted emails through PayPal, making them look official, and they're not. Any help that you can offer me would be great. Of course, the money never was put into my account, therefore they never got the phone. I still have the phone currently. Sincerely, Lady Spitfire.
All right, Pip, take us through this.
All right. Well, the first things that happened to Lady Spitfire are the work of scammers who understand the market for high-ticket price popular items on eBay, like phones, gaming systems, and really big-ticket items like cars and real estate. But there are many different kinds of scams on eBay, so you have to arm yourself with knowledge and pay very close attention. Now, the first buyer that she had to deal with, she encountered... they were pulling a scam that should wave a red flag. The first buyer offered her $100 over the asking price for shipping.
We see that in a lot of scams.
Yeah.
Like, where they want to give you more than what you're being asked for.
Right.
Whether it be romance scams, these type of scams, all sorts of scams. That's always, as you said, a red flag.
Yeah.
Which, which is only less significant than the rainbow flag, which is the most tolerant of flags, as we learned.
Well, the person was saying that they wanted to give her $100 more for shipping so that she would send the phone to her cousin for his birthday via FedEx or United Postal Service. And the second red flag was that the buyer, supposedly an American named Ashley, worded her request, which was typical of the slightly ungrammatical English that we often see African scammers use.
Or Joe.
the person wrote, "It is my pleasure to inform you," which is one of their pat phrases, "that I have carried out the payment via eBay to PayPal. I just got a receipt from PayPal, so if you haven't, please check your spam now. I'm sure that you have been notified also. I would have asked you to ship to home address, but am currently on a business trip."
So right there, to home address instead of the pronoun, my home address.
Right. And
or to my home.
And not I am on a business trip, and am on business trip, and no one will be home to receive it. And again, I want it sent to my cousin's for his birthday gift. Please, make sure you send it via USPS or FedEx overnight shipment. That is why I added $100 for the shipping. Here is the delivering address. So now it's ungrammatical. It's written in some of the phraseology that we've seen.
And nobody just says, "Let me give you $100 to pay for the shipping."
$100 for shipping for a little phone? Are you nuts?
You could walk it there, but you could attach it to a midget and let him run across for $100.
Mm. You could strap it to a duckling, and they would be able to bring it there faster. You know,
but not a swan. Swans are more.
Right. Swan is extra.
Yes.
So now eBay will only offer you protection on items mailed to the PayPal address on file. If you mail it to another address, eBay's not going to be able to help you.
And that's in their rules.
That is in their rules. That's why
on their website
you have to pay very close attention. Any request to mail to another address, no matter how reasonable or polite, is going to put you, the seller, at risk.
So what eBay is saying is, if you send it directly to them, we're still involved.
Right.
Once you send it to a third party, you're on your own, kid.
Yeah, you've made the decision to step outside of the guidelines
and the protections. Yes.
Also, make sure that the PayPal email doesn't show up before the email from eBay telling you that the item's been sold, because that's what happened. That's not the normal course of events, and the PayPal email is trouble.
And, of course, the scammer doesn't know when you got the email.
Right. So they're going to throw it out there. And she got I'm not going to read the whole thing, but she got a PayPal notice supposedly from the buyer saying that they were going to release the payment. Release the Kraken! Release the cell phone and we will release the Kraken. No. That they were going to release the payment once she gave them the shipping routing information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. First of all, the PayPal notice was really strange. There were numerous fonts used. They randomly changed font size and it had grammatical errors.
Yeah, all right. PayPal isn't employing 6-year-olds.
Yeah,
it's going to look professional.
Of course.
They're not serial killers cutting out a magazine and cutting out the letters on a magazine and putting it on a loose leaf paper and sending it.
They're a bunch of cereal. You got to do something between orders.
Like cutting it and pasting it like a kidnap notice.
Yeah.
Like
it's going to look professional.
Right. So now it asked for tracking information before the payment was confirmed. It's not wise to do this because once your item is shipped, there's no way to get it back from the scammers. But there are some PayPal notices that are such good forgeries that you can't tell them for the real thing. And for that reason, never click on the links in emails that are supposedly from PayPal or eBay because they could lead to fake sites. always check into your own eBay account directly on the website or your PayPal at email ad.
We've seen this on a lot of platforms where they take you away from the official site, whether it's Facebook or eBay, whatever it is. You want to stay within the confines of their site. Once you get lured away someplace else, you're in trouble.
Yeah, no matter how good the email looks. And the most important point of this notice is that she was smart enough to hold off giving out the tracking information, even though the scammer harassed her by phone and by text. Instead, she notified eBay that something was irregular, and the owner of the real account said that they didn't buy the item. And that's how they were caught.
Okay.
The second sale that she went through was similar. It was a similar problem. And there were other ones that it was, they keep, one of the things is they keep saying they're going to send it off for birthday presents.
Good. Birthday presents. If they want a birthday present, don't use it. Mike, tell us one more time where you're going to be.
I mean, Governor's Comedy Club, April 22nd, 10:30 p.m., www.govs.com, G-O-V-S.
All right. You can listen to the whole show unedited at davinsden.com. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Plankfoot. You're at what, at Pip Helix?
Yes.
What are you at?
At Mike C.J. Keegs.
All right, you can follow me at Davin Comedy. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. You can follow me at Davin Comedy. Go to the Davin's Den Facebook page. Give it a like. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.